One of the great treasures of Dallas for the last several decades has been Dr. Kenneth Cooper and, of course, the aerobics center that he started here. But he literally wrote the book on aerobics. And 20 books later, he's still writing books at the age of 94. Dr. Cooper joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you, David. My pleasure.
I feel like I've been through a lot of these books together, but I mean, it's hard to top the first one, the aerobics. I mean, people are still reading it. It's still the Bible for workouts.
That's pleased to see you could actually order one of the original aerobics books on Amazon, which cost $1 back in those days. Now you have it cost $61 now to get a copy of that first book. It didn't even autographed.
Well, your new one is called Grow Healthier as You Grow Older. And this reminds me of the adage, I would have taken better care of my body if I'd known I was going to last this long.
I've heard that before. This is actually a culmination of some almost 55 years we've been here in Dallas. Starting with a two-room office and two employees, now we've grown to 30 acres and 550 employees and 28 full-time physicians working. And an impact on the world, it's hard to believe. Give you an indication of that in the new book entitled Grow Healthier as You Grow Older. It talks about how life devoted to preventive medicine fostered the global fitness revolution. To give you an idea of how that is a true statement, we had a premiere of one of four documentaries that I put together to try to educate physicians, medical students, and the public on the importance of preventive medicine, which is, when I was in medical school, we were taught that preventive medicine is a Cinderella of the medical, especially because there's no profit in health. The profit's only disease. They told me 55 years ago, you couldn't be successful in Dallas if you limit your practice to taking care of healthy people. But over the years, we started the Research Institute, so I just started collecting data on our patients starting back in 1970. And we now have been able to publish some 700 papers bridging the gap between fadism and scientific legitimacy, but proving that we are worldwide. But we had a premiere of one of our documentaries in November 2020 through the Bush Library entitled The Power of Prevention and the World Impact of Aerobics. There was a woman reporter from CNN who came down to interview me. You can still go to CNN and type in homepage in Cooper and get this interview. And they told me not long ago that has been downloaded by 729,700,000 people.
Well, I know. I mean, you're a household name in Brazil. You have a great following in China. But, you know, over the last 20 books and all these decades, so much has changed in medicine, too. Like I said, people literally are living longer. But also breakthroughs. What about now, these GLP-1 drugs, the wonder drugs that, you know, they work with diabetes. People are now using them for weight loss. And I guess they don't feel like they have to work out, do the aerobics to have the weight loss because you can take a pill and do it.
Well, this is true. And even an article I was reading just recently, they talked about it's still appropriate for older people, the people reading this book, the GLP-1s. But, you know, that's just the tip of the iceberg because, yes, majority of people, they've been exercising for longer than 5 years. The primary answer they give you is because it makes me feel good. I've had people write me by the dozens over the years, by the hundreds, and saying, I wish I'd have known how better I could feel 15, 20 years ago. I was missing a part of my life. We've been able to prove in our research that people are less depressed, less hypochondriac, improve self-image, much more positive attitude towards of life just because they're physically fit.
Well, there's even the short-term push that you get from the endomorphins working out after those kick.
That's exactly right. I had to stop running some 21 years ago because I broke my leg snow skiing up in Colorado. But you don't quit exercise, you just transition. So I transition to recumbent cycling, which I do 30 minutes most days of the week. But that's because I don't get the endorphin effect you used to get from running. I miss that because you can get addicted to your own body's endorphins. And when you stop exercise, you get depressed. And that happened when I transitioned. But again, what we've been able to prove is people coming here to our clinic for 20 years or longer. Now we have a 90-day waiting list for people to come to our clinic, and our membership in the fitness center is now closed. We have a 60-day waiting list for that. Been highly successful. And we have over 150,000 patients in our database, and over 300,000 maximum performance treadmill stress tests.
And
that data is
the
largest
right?
in the world.
I mean, they're coming from all over. These are not just people coming
from all over the world. But this is a group of people that came to us at least 20 times over a 45-year period. This is the importance of the examination at this clinic. And we got their death certificates and found that they were living longer than the national average. Our women were averaging 90.4 years. our men 86.5, which is an average of 88.6 years. That's almost exactly 10 years longer than national average. And they square off the curve. They live a long, healthy life, the fullest, and dying suddenly. Let me tell you something, as Israelis, we've also published in many peer-reviewed journal articles. We followed a group of some 28,000 people who came to the clinic at an average age of 50. Followed for 25 years, got their Medicare debt from 65 to 75 years of age. And the only variable we looked at was their time on the treadmill. Very poor, fair, good, excellent, superior, age and sex adjusted. Look, the top 20 percentile versus the bottom 20 percentile. These people had 36% less Alzheimer's and dementia than the bottom category. They had 40% reduction in chronic kidney disease requiring dialysis than these people had. They had 25% reduction in all types of cancer and 25% reduction in congestive heart failure. But the biggest thing that they had, the cost of health care from 65 to 75 years was 45% less in this category than this category.
Yeah, and that'll get a lot of attention that some of the others won't do, is that you could save some money doing it.
Oh, without question.
Let me ask you this, because this book, you're skewing up a little bit on the demographics too. And you have a different conversation with somebody who's 60 or 65 years old and wants to stay fit than you do with somebody who's 35 or 40, don't you?
Yeah, but people are growing healthy from day 35 and 40. Because what you do as a child, a fat child becomes a fat adult. An inactive child becomes an inactive adult. So you have to start early by growing healthy as you grow older. And Troy Aikman, in his endorsement, said you're growing older from day one, literally. But you want to grow healthier as you grow older. But how do you do that? In the book, I emphasize the importance of being cooperized. There's these various things that we know are important. If you want to have long, healthy life that I'm living at my advanced age, number one is you have to control your weight. You've done a good job, and I congratulate you on that. Get your body mass index, but you can get that by going to the computer. But the best thing to do now, we have called the body roundness index. Because you look at the body mass index, it considers the body as a cylinder. It's not a cylinder. Many people have a pot belly, and that's where the visceral fat, the bad fat is. That's related to all these various diseases. And so you go to the BRE and measure your waist circumference and your weight, and you get the body roundness index. And that's the first thing. The second thing is your diet. You must get at least five is fine, nine is divide. Number of servings you should be consuming daily. Average American adult, 6.1. Average 3.6. Average teen, average 1.6. And you ought to need to get your vitamin D. I've been able to prove over the years that vitamin D can help protect you from COVID. We have new data to show that now. It's been accepted.
You started to be on that during COVID. Massive doses of, I think, 5,000.
You're doing the same thing. I take 7,000 units a day. I keep my blood level between 65 and 70. But the next on the list is exercise. No question about that. But now I'm telling people, all you have to do is avoid inactivity. Get 30 minutes collective or sustained most days per week. We proved that a famous article we published in November the 3rd, 1989, in the Journal of the American Medical Association.
Right.
We followed 10,000 people for a period of years and found that if they could move up just one block on the fitness scale from very poor to poor, they increased their life expectancy by 6 years, decreased their smokiness by 58%. So your best return on investment is just avoiding inactivity. But next on the list, you got to quit smoking. You don't get used to tobacco in any time. The next thing is control alcohol. I used to say men could have 2 drinks a day, women 1 drink a day. I'm not saying you have to be careful about that because now we show a clear relationship between alcohol consumption and cancer. All these different cancers starting in the mouth and the esophagus and the vocal cords. And then breast cancer and colon cancer, all related to cancer. And next, you must control stress in your life. But it's not stress that kills, the way you handle stress. I control the stress exercise at the end of the day. And funny, you need to get an examination on a regular basis. Not the examination we have here, but get the basics minimum. Your height and your weight, your body roundness index, and get your blood pressure, and get your blood cholesterol, get your blood lipids, and get tests for blood sugar, and get the C-reactive protein, because that's a measure of inflammation. Inflammation is something that's paramount in my book, because for years we know that people can have an amyloid plaque and tau protein in the brain, but don't get dementia. Why? Because you have to have somebody to light that fire, and that fire is chronic inflammation, which is most prominent in people who are overweight and inactive.
And that's where you get the dementia. So let me ask you this. You've lectured in, I don't know, 50 different countries all over the world. Your books are translated in all sorts of languages. You meet a lot of people. Are Americans fat? I've heard that before, is that Americans are, in the U.S., because of our habits, that we're in poorer shape than the rest of the world, and that we're, by and large, a fatter group.
Well, this is true. I just recorded a meeting just the other day. I talked about the obesity problem that we have in children. And China has more children who are overweight, but the United States is number two in that list. On down the list, you find people like Brazil, and you find Mexico on down the list. But we spend all this money on healthcare, $3.4 trillion per year on healthcare, yet we rank 43rd in longevity. We spend way too much for health service dollar on desperate measures that prolongs death, not life, a miserable few days.
Do we walk less than they do? It seems like
we walk less than do around the world. Why are these kids? Why are they so fat now? Because we eliminate PE in the schools, number one. They don't walk or ride the bicycle to school anymore. They're driven to school. Number three, they're spending up to 4 to 8 hours a day watching television, playing video games, or it's enormous what they're doing. And they're eating at fast food restaurants. All these things they're doing wrong. So this is the whole combination of getting Cooperized is correct all these various things. We could change the world with
the publication. Well, you're the best walking endorsement for the process there is. So 94 years old, you feel good?
Yes, I feel fine. I'm enjoying life to the fullest, being able to enjoy the things I've been blessed with. But I give God the credit for it, I'll guarantee you, because when I had an epiphany when I was 29 years of age that changed my life and changed my career, I just finished my internship, and I was an athlete in high school and college. I got a track scholarship at University of Oklahoma. But I learned something very important in going to medical school. Obesity is the most common manifestation of stress. Yeah. Under stress, you know that. Under stress, you gain weight. Stay awake at night, trying to get good grades. Went to medical school. I started weighing 168. That's what I weighed when I was in high school and in college. But I started gaining weight. By the time I finished my internship, I weighed 204 pounds.
Wow.
For 6 years, I didn't do anything except just wait to go in the military and finish my career and all that. But I made a decision one day when I was 29 years of age to go water skiing for the first time in many, many years of a Lake Tahoe summer. Got about halfway through, and I got hit with chest pain and a racing heart. Got me over the side, down the side, stretched me out. Went back to normal the next day. I went to the Air Force. Had a complete workup at the School of Aerospace Medicine. Doc, the only thing wrong with you is you're out of shape. I was an outstanding athlete. I won the Shan Championship of the Mile in Oklahoma. Won All-State in basketball. And a few years later, I had that epiphany. I'd planned on becoming an ophthalmologist when I left medical school in Seattle back in Portland, Oregon. But then I was hypertensive and diabetic. And so I lost that weight within 6 months, remember, first marathon a year later, and all those things disappear. I changed my career. I wasn't planning on becoming a specialist in preventive medicine. I thought, this is a field that's been sadly ignored. And that was a pivot that changed my life that's going to change the world.
And 94 years later, the history is made. Look, we wish you great luck. I don't know that you need it. Your books always sell like crazy, but this one's called Grow Healthier as You Grow Older. Dr. Kenneth Cooper, our guest today. It's always good to spend some time with you.
Thank you, David.
Thanks a lot. For more of a conversation, go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.